It's a Tuesday, and we always talk technology on a Tuesday with Jonah Nader, who I've got to say is one of the most phobic people in the world. He always scares me about something that's happening. But what is your technophobia? What makes you paranoid? And do you trust the technology that you use? Jonah, you usually scare me, but not usually do you scare me in a way that says that you're a technophobe.
No. I'm a technophobe-bore. You're a technophobe.
Ah, okay. You're a technophobe-bore, which means that you clear up any technophobia that I may well have.
No, I dish it out.
Let's run through a couple of them, because there was a time where if you went to an exam, you'd carry an extra pencil and you'd think, right, I'm ready. If my pencil breaks, I'll be ready to go. But these days, I need to take a whole bunch of stuff just in case something goes wrong in my exam.
I don't know about you, but when I used to go to exams, I used to carry not only a calculator, but a spare 9-volt battery, would you believe?
That is good thinking. You can see why you're where you are today.
Well, imagine how many calculations one must need to do in an exam to wear out a whole battery. But yep, sure enough, I used to carry a spare one. But do you, for example, really trust your money is where it is? Or when you're travelling, do you always take a bit of cash just in case the ATM refuses you and you'll be stranded? Do you, for example, when you are in the car, always carry change because you can't trust your swipe cards at the new whiz-bang parking stations?
Yes to both.
And do you know in your fancy ABC there you've got all these electronic doors and you have to have swipe cards and proximity readers, but even at the most high security building, you look at next to the swipe card somewhere on the floor is a good old-fashioned lock and key system.
So what you're saying is that somewhere we don't truly trust deep down our technology and we'd like to go back to the old stuff.
Well, take, for example, those who are doing an essay or a thesis or anything important. Do they just trust to leave it on their computer, or do they back it up on a hard drive and or another diskette and then ship the diskette to another state in case of a nuclear war or something? I'm forever saving, and I once met Jerry Harvey, you know, from Harvey Norman.
Mm.
And remember, his TV commercials were always about save, save, save. So I said, Jerry, in my office we have a thing called doing a Jerry Harvey. He said, what's that? I said, I always say to my staff, save, 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 for heaven's sake, before the computer goes down.
The other thing is the car key these days. And I was reading something the other day about car keys, how if you lose one of the new whiz-bang car keys that open the door and lock the door and put the immobiliser on and all that, you can't go and get one cut, of course, and it takes you a long time these days to replace your electronic car key.
Well, not only that, someone who's hiding behind a tree can hear the signal and catch it and copy it on their little handheld device. Now, almost most handheld devices have infrared detectors, senders and receivers and also recorders. So someone could stand behind a tree, copy the signal, and when you go shopping, they'll steal a few things, lock the door. No sign of forced entry. What do you prove was stolen?
I was always wondering how the robbers were working on trying to break into the cars these days. There must be a way. There we are. They're stealing my infrared information.
Your wave. And do you know, we should have a word for all this technophobia.
Mm.
I thought of one. I'll give you an example of how I thought of it. Do you know when you're using a calculator and you make a mistake and you press cancel?
Mm.
Do you ever press cancel once or a million times?
Oh, usually a million times. I'm usually hitting the button over and over.
You watch. You watch. You give someone a calculator and say, add these numbers for me. And I bet you when they make a mistake, they'll press clear or cancel about 5 or 6 times. They never quite trust cleared. And so I was doing this once and a friend said to me, you know what? This is called cancelitis.
So we've got cancelitis. What about the microwave oven? Should I be happy about the microwave oven, apart from putting my face up close to it, which I always tell my 5-year-old to avoid?
Look, there are some people who are truly paranoid about so many things that they don't let their baby near it, and almost rightly so, because there are often these memos going around saying, you know, make sure you check your microwave oven because it does leak. But there are people who are really scared of it because they've had 1 or 2 bad experiences, like put a plate there that shouldn't have been and it cracked, or an egg that they shouldn't have. And so sometimes one bad experience can really lead you to absolute paranoia. Like with my car alarm system, I once had 2 alarms in the one car. Don't ask me why, strange reason. And I was so paranoid because they kept going off that for years, every time I came to open the door, I'd twinge a second before thinking, oops, it might go off now. There's a whole PhD in that.
Here I was thinking that you weren't a technophobe. You claim you're a technophobe, but I think you're a technophobe in there somewhere as well, myself.
I'm reformed.
Let's go to a couple of other ones. The Olympics is not far away, but the Olympic Committee now has a subcommittee looking into modernising sport. Tell me more.
Well, how many times can you look at a tennis ball going backwards and forwards or a soccer ball doing this thing?
Lots, lots and lots.
But they're saying there must be a better, fresh, attracting the young group. So they've invented this thing called modifying sports. So, you know, soccer, what you need is a slippery surface with slippery shoes and perhaps an undulating surface with water and oil being splashed, and then tell me if you can play soccer. And that's called slopper.
I thought it would be extreme soccer or something. I thought you were going to tell me they were going to go for rollerball, which is the one that I always say.
Well, then why confine it to this little tiny court? What do they call it? A field? You know, why not just have it out there in the open at the behind marsh or wherever they're going to do it and just let them go for 3 days kicking the ball? I mean, you need to inject what's making modern television work with old sport.
Oh, no, you see, now you've got me onto a sports conversation. This can go on forever. No, leave sport how it is. We like it. That's why it's lasted so long. Just before we go, I know you like to play Believe It or Not. This is where you come up with an idea and I have to try and establish whether you're actually tugging my chain or not. Tell me your Believe It or Not today and I'll tell you whether I believe it or not.
Well, you know, we have Big Brother, which is a huge TV phenomenon, which is, you know, now they have a Big Mama, which is a fully adults-only, X-rated, pan the camera you like, when you like, as you like it, on cable television. Why not? It's all about voyeurism. It's all about anticipation and anxiety. And if they want to go for it, let them.
Even if I don't believe it, I don't know whether you're tugging my chain, but I believe it's not far away. Pornography is everywhere. Jonah Nader, always a pleasure to speak to you. Nice to have you on the program yet again. Good to see that you're a technophobe and a technophobe reformed. And we'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, Richard. Bye.